Amen.
What child is this? Amen. And I tell you, that'll get you face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ. We think about what child is this? And we're thankful about this time. Thank you, Brother Wilbur, for that message and song. Again, we're at Psalm 119 this morning, picking up where we left off last week, dealing with the blessed man or the happy man. And notice verses 1 and 2 both start, blessed are the undefiled. The other one, blessed are they that keep. And so we're looking at this blessed man as he's going through his afflictions, his adversities. He's vowing to keep the word of God over and again. And I don't know about you, but I know I have faced my share of adversities this year, my share of afflictions this year, and I'm sure you probably have too. And you know, although people can be a great source of comfort, people are not always with you. And you can always open the Word of God and go through the Psalms and find Psalm 23. You can find Psalm 1. You can find any Psalm that you want to deal with an area of your life, and it's there. Psalm 119 is strictly about the love for the Word of God that this Psalm has had. And any one of us could really have pinned this down if we have that type of love for the Word of God. And so we looked at last week the happy or the blessed man. Today we're going to look at the holy man and possibly the humble man. It all depends on the time. But this psalmist remained happy, holy, and humble despite all the afflictions and all the adversities that he went through. And let me just put this out there and ask this question. Can you really remain happy through adversities and afflictions? Can you really remain holy through afflictions and adversities? Can you really remain humble through afflictions and adversities? Yes, you can. The psalmist shows us how. By having a love for the Lord and a love for his word. Amen. And it can happen. And you can remain happy. You can remain holy. And you can remain humble. You say, preacher, why happy? Because happiness, if you look at the world's happiness, is based upon happenings. But the Lord's happy is based on joy that comes in Jesus Christ. And it comes in knowing that he is my Savior and he's omnipotent, he's omnipresent, and he's omniscient. And he knows all about me, he knows all about what I'm going through. And in my Father's house, it's actually going to be okay. It could be a whole lot worse, and it's not. And so God is in control. So I can be happy, but can I stay holy? Because normally we go through adversities and afflictions. First thing we want to do is put up dukes. We want a box. You let somebody cut in front of you during this Christmas season time, the last thing you're going to have is Christmas cheer. You're going to be all up in their face about why they cut you and you've been in line for 30 minutes and all these other things. Amen. And the last thing that's going to come out of your mouth is Merry Christmas. Amen. But you know what? If you like the blessed man here, you can be happy and you can stay holy and you can stay humble. You're not going to get too big for your britches. Amen. And that's what we're looking at in this psalm here. And hopefully by God's grace, we'll get some justice done to it. Just by way of what we covered last week, the first seven verses here detail what will happen in the life of those who make the Word of God the center of their life. And I mentioned that he needs to be the center. The Word of God needs to be the center. And that way you can work on everything in your life that needs to be worked on. Amen. If you just have it on the outskirts of your body or the outskirts of your mind, when the tough times comes, you'll be easy to shake it off. Amen. And so several words were used to describe God's Word. One was word. One was law. One is saying. One is statutes, one is way, one is commandments, one is path, one testimonies, one precepts, and another judgments. And so those words are interchangeably speaking about different facets of the Word of God and what it is and what it can do in the life of a believer, and so one that really applies it to their life. And so the first thing that we looked at was this psalmist was a happy person, and he was happy in the Lord's way. Notice verse number 1. It says, blessed or happy are the undefiled in the way. He is happy in the Lord's way. He loves the Lord's way. If you have knowledge of the book of Genesis and the guy named Abraham, Abraham had sent his servant out to find a wife for his son Isaac. And the servant went out with this command, don't come back with anybody else but her. And when he went out looking, And he asked God, he said, God, to put me in the way of this person. And if I say these things and if this happens, let that be the woman. And when that came true, the servant said this, I being in the way, amen, the Lord led me. Think about that. I being in the way that God had, the path that God had, the course that God had for me, he led me. Genesis 24, 27. So the psalmist is saying here the same thing. I being in the way, the Lord led me, and I can be undefiled in the way. And so we looked at that, and not just is he happy in the Lord's way, but he's also happy in the Lord's walk. The rest of that verse says this, blessed are the undefiled who walk in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. And so he can be happy, and it's not grievous to him. He can be happy in the Lord's way and in the Lord's walk. And then we looked at the ending of that verse. The psalmist is happy in the Lord's will. Notice what it says down there in verse number 2. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. So he's blessed in the Lord's way, blessed in the Lord's walk, blessed in the Lord's will. But in that will, we begin to dissect it up a little bit. He's happy in God's will of purpose for his life. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and seek him with a whole heart. That's his goal. That's his job. But also he's happy in the will of purity for his life. They also do no iniquity. He keeps himself clean. Why? I'm in the way of the Lord. And by the way, if I'm going to be right with God, I need to be holy.
That's right.
Yeah.
Amen, Pastor.
Amen. I know it's not popular these days to be holy. But guess what? The Bible says, be ye holy. Why? For I am holy. And so the psalmist says, no, not only am I a happy person, I'm a holy person in verses 4, 5, and 6. We're going to look at that this morning. He's a holy person, and he's going to have to be holy if he's going to be with God. Amen. Because he said, be ye holy, for I am holy. And I want us to notice, first of all, this psalmist is holy in his duty. Notice what he says here. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Now, let's just think about that for a while. The word precepts has the idea of being a mandate or something we must do. It's a charge that God has placed that we must do. Now, the interesting thing about this is found in Deuteronomy chapter 6. Go with me there. Hold your finger here. Deuteronomy chapter 6. The interesting part about this, you'll find it in verse 24 of Deuteronomy chapter number 6. And in Deuteronomy chapter number 6, Moses here, speaking about the law of God and how it ought to be handled, says this in verse 24. And the Lord God, and the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God. Notice this, for our what? For our good. For our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is this day. And it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God as he hath commanded us. So, preacher, what's the strange part about this holy duty? It is for your good.
Amen.
And it is for my good. Why do you think God gave the Ten Commandments? Thou shalt have no other gods before me. He says, don't make any graven images. He says, remember the Sabbath day, keep it holy. Don't take my name in vain. But then when he starts commandment number 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, guess who they deal with? People. He says, I want you to honor your father and your mother. I don't want you to kill. I don't want you to commit adultery. I don't want you to steal. I don't want you to covet. I want you to bear false witness. Guess what? That's for your good if I do those things. And if you do those things, it's for my good. And if you don't do those things, guess what? It's not for my good. Amen. It's actually to my demise, because that means you're going to kill me and all these other things according to the Bible. You're not going to honor your parents. And so he says, you know what? God has commanded us to keep these things diligently. And it's for our good. Imagine that. God wants you to do something for your good. God's getting no profit out of this at all. He gets the glory.
Yes, sir.
But you're not going to make him any better. You're not going to make... It's for your good. God says, look, I'm doing this for you. This is for your sake. You're not going to make me more holy. You're not going to make me more separated. You're not going to make me more omnipotent. You're not going to make me more omniscient. You're not going to make me any more omnipresent. You're not going to add anything to me. I will get glory. But guess what? This is for your good. Now, if you think about that, he says, for your good. Now, go back to Psalm 119. And notice again what he says in verse number 4, because we're talking about the psalmist is holy in his duty. He says, thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Imagine God has to command us to do something good for ourselves. And there really is no choice in the matter if I'm going to be blessed and if I'm going to be happy. Let me ask you a question. Don't doctors do the same thing? Doctors tell you to take some medicine. Doctor gets no good out of it, except he gets financial compensation. Amen. But guess who's the medicine's good for? It's for you. It's for your good. When you go see a doctor, it is for your good. God is our doctor. He's the chief physician. And he gives us his word for our good. Now, if an earthly doctor can do it, guess what? It's goes without saying that God can do it. But let me take it a step further. We do the same thing for our kids. We say things like this: eat your vegetables because it's good for you. We say put on your t-shirt because it's good for you. We say put on your coat because it's good for you. We say brush your teeth because it's good for you and others too. If not, it's going to be bad for us. We got to take you to dentist. Amen. We say, take your vitamins because it's good for you. We say, drink some water because it's good for you. We say, eat some fruit because it's good for you. We say, take a nap because I need a break. No, we say, take a nap because it's good for you and it's good for me. We say, take a bath because it's good for you and it's good for me. We say, cut down on sweets because it's good for you to cut down on sweets. Children, don't get that wrong. Say, Pastor said sweets are good for you. Yeah, good for you to cut down on them. What am I saying? He says, thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. God has to command us to keep his word, and it's for our good. But doctors do the same thing, and we do the same thing to our children. But now we get grown. We don't have to keep them diligently because I'm grown people. Right. If you needed them as little people, you need them as big people. It helped you get to big being a big people. Amen. We do the same thing for our children, and God has to command us to do the same thing. Imagine this. God says things like, forgive because it's good for you. He says, love because it's good for you. He says, be not bitter because it's good for you. He says, pray because it's good for you. He says, read because it's good for you. Study because it's good for you. Do some soul winning. It's good for you. Meditate, rejoice, be content, give. Why? It's good for you. And God's got to command us to do that. And it's good for us. Again, you're not making God any better by doing this. You're not making him any more omnipresent or omnipotent. He is still the potentate. He's still the King of Kings. He's still the Lord of Lords. You have added nothing to him if you do that, but it is for your good. Because he said, if you don't forgive, he won't forgive you. He said, if you be bitter, it's going to ruin you, and many are going to be defiled. He says, you should love because God is love. And on we could go. Notice verse 4, it states us. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts. All God's people are commanded to obey. Say, preacher, but not all obey. That's beside the point. They're commanded to obey. I'll give an illustration. You give all your children a command to go get in the car. Do all of them obey first time? But didn't you give them a command? Why do we get so mystified when God puts out a commandment and says, thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts. Then somebody doesn't keep them. See, they didn't keep them. And that's none of your business. That's God's business. You need to keep them because it's good for you. So whether they do or not, God's the disciplinarian. God's going to mete out the discipline. God can mete out the chastening. God knows how to get the rod of correction on those adult folk. Amen. Don't you look at them and say, well, God, why aren't they? He say, why are you looking at them? Run your race that sits before you, as the kid said. All our children are commanded on certain things, but not all obey. Now we know what God is working with, don't we? Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. How many keep them all? And it's for our good. And we wonder why we're so unhealthy spiritually. We wonder why we're so unholy spiritually. We wonder why we're so helpless spiritually. And we look at this brother or this sister or this Christian or this person and say, well, well, look at them. No, 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 don't look at them. Look at you. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. The psalmist is holy in his duty, but he's also holy in his desire. Notice verse 5. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. How many of y'all prayed that before? Amen. Oh, God, if my ways were just directed. The word directed there means to be steered or stabilized or fixed. The psalmist is saying, oh, that my ways were steered or stabilized or fixed to keep thy commandments. If I could just do it, Lord, if I could just do it automatically. If I could just do it. That's where we struggle at, the do part. We know it. We heard it. We see it. But it's the do part. Why? Life kicks in, circumstances kick in, and the do part becomes difficult. We switch out that D-O with a D-I. D-I-F-F-I-C-U-L-T. Difficult. The psalmist knows how easy it is to wander and stray from that which he should do, that he knows is for his good. When the going is good, it's easy, but it's difficult when the afflictions and adversity set in. Notice what he says in verse 10. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. I can just hear him. Why? Because I hear myself. Lord, you know my heart. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, don't let me wander away. Lord, don't let me get away from that which I know is right, because it's so easy to do. It's so easy. Something happens and we fall apart and there it goes. A situation happens and at the moment we lose our temper and we snap on somebody. I was telling the couples class about a letter that I had typed up to a business person that I was doing some business with, and I typed up a letter, man. I just told them off. Had no intention on sending it. I just wanted to vent. And I had my wife read it. My wife said, I know you're not going to send that, are you? I said, no. No, but I just want to let you, that's how I feel. That's what I want to do. The old man came out. The old man said, let's take this jacket off. put that old man back on. Here we go. Can't do that to me. I'm an American. Amen. Supposed to be a Christian. Amen. And guess what? I had to type that. I had to delete that. All right, so let me type up the real letter. Now that I got that out the way. Amen. He says, oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. God, why don't you just help me out with this thing? I got some problems here. Much like us, we want to obey God, but oftentimes we wish God would just make us do things. Have you ever felt that way? God just made me do it. I know I have. God just make me do it. We wish these things sometimes. God, make me forgive people. God, make me love people. God, make me read my Bible. God, make me study your word. God, make me memorize scripture. God, make me go soul winning. God, make me come to church. God, make me have a good attitude. God, make me give. And on and on and on and on we could go. God, just make me do it. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Sometimes the way is not as easy as we'd like it to be. And we just want God to just get in and drive and say, just do it. I'm glad you know what he does.
Amen, Pastor.
The ladies are studying the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against us there is no law. Guess what? If you let go of what you want to do and let God do what he's supposed to do, guess what? You won't have a problem. You won't have a problem. The problem comes when you, like me, type up that letter in the flesh and you're upset. and you want to have your way, and you don't want to do what's good for you. You want to do what's going to get at them. And guess what? When we do that, now we got issues. We got problems because God said, hey, that's not the way that you should walk in. That's not the way. Don't walk in there. I being in the other way, the flesh led me. Amen. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Because of I being in the way, God would surely lead me. But I getting in the flesh, the flesh is going to lead me. You're going to be led of the flesh or the spirit. And so the psalmist is saying, oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statute. God, just make me do it. However, then we'd be robots and not people. We'd be not free agents. We'd be void of free will if God made us do it. You know, I found something out. We normally go after that which we strongly desire. How many of y'all saw a sale recently? You went after it?
Yes, sir, Pastor.
I remember years ago when I first walked into the college cafeteria and I saw Miss Carmen Davila sitting way over there.
Amen.
I went after her.
Oh, yeah.
I had a strong desire. And I said, I got to know her name.
Yeah, we do.
And I got her name. And I got to talking with her. And I thought, man, I'm going to know some more about her.
Amen.
You know what? Nobody had to direct me. Oh, that my ways were directed to follow after Carmen. You didn't have to direct me at all. It was a desire on my part.
Yes, sir, Pastor.
I found that I do things that I normally desire to do. And guess what? I began going after her. Nobody would say, oh, well, weren't your ways directed after her? Go. No. It was already in my heart. I wanted to go after her. And I did. Mm-hmm. By the way, you'd be hard-pressed trying to keep me away from doing it.
Amen.
Can I get amen?
Amen, Pastor.
You feel the same way about your honey, too? Unless somebody's saying, yeah, if I was you, I wouldn't date that one. Uh-huh. Well, you stop me if you can. I was getting ready to get married. My mom said, Now, boy, you so young. You 20, she 19. Y'all kids, y'all don't know what love is. I don't know, but I know who she is. I don't have a clue what love is, but I know who she is. And I'm going to marry her. Boy, why don't you wait a few years? She may be gone by then. Oh, my ways were directed. Hey, my ways were directed after her, and I went after her. Hey, you didn't have to make me do it. I wanted to do it. What am I saying? When I have a heart for God, and when I have a heart for God's word, nobody's got to make you do it.
That's right, Pastor. That's right.
Matter of fact, they'd be hard-pressed to keep you away from doing it.
Yes, sir, Pastor.
Nothing frustrates me more than when I get interrupted and I'm trying to have some quiet time with God. Man, I get off, leave me alone, phone, stop ringing, stop buzzing, put all that stuff out. Hey, me and God, don't mess with that time. Amen, that's me. My ways are directed. I want him. Do you feel that way about God's word?
Oh, yes.
Y'all too?
Yes, I do.
Y'all too? You know, I found something out. Because I desired her, I went after her. Because I desire the word of God, I go after it. Whatever it is you desire, you're going to go after it. Right or wrong?
That's right.
Why do you think David got into trouble with Bathsheba? He desired something he went after, and it was wrong.
That's right.
Hey, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Bible says, don't err. Let no man say, when I'm tempted of God, because God cannot be tempted with sin, neither tempted any man. But every man is tempted, he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. You know what that lust is? Desire. Desire. The psalmist said, you know what? I would to God that no one had to make me do this, that I could just do it on my own, and I'd go after it. It's the same way with God and his word. I'm continuing to go on in God's word. We must have an attitude of love and desire and devotion to make our will God's will, and the Spirit will give us the power to do it. Philippians 2:13 says it this way, for it is God which worketh in you both, notice this, both to will, that means to have the desire, to have the want to, and it says, and to do of his good pleasure. It is God that both worketh in you, both to will, to have the desire, and then to do of his good pleasure. God's going to give you the ability to do it when you want to do it, when he gives you the want to want to do it.
Amen.
It all depends on where you want to, Zach. Because I'm a firm believer that we do what we want to do. Pastor Benny used to always tickle me. He would meet people at the back door and he'd say, I'll be back at church tonight. And they would say something like, well, I'm going to try. I'm going to do this, Pastor. You know what? People normally end up doing what they try to do. People end up doing that which they desire to do. And then they get quiet. Because the desire really is not to be back. Because if it were, nothing would stop them from being back. You know what? I didn't start getting faithful to Sunday school until I desired to be there. I didn't start getting faithful to Sunday night until I desired to be there. I didn't start getting faithful to Wednesday night until I desired to be there. I didn't start getting faithful to soul winning until I desired to be there. And that desire rose above everything else that I had going on at that time. I used to bowl. I used to play basketball. I used to do all sorts of things. And that desire for God and God's house began to rise and rise and rise. And you couldn't stop me from being there. Some folks' desire ain't there yet. And guess what? You don't answer to me. You answer to God. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precept diligently. He said, you gave it all to all of us, but not all people obey it. And that's between you and your Lord. And that's between you and your love for your God. I'm showing God my love by what I do, my desire. I showed that precious lady there my desire by what I did for her. And so the psalmist says, you know what? Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Paul struggled with that. Go to Romans chapter number 7. And notice how Paul struggled with this same issue about doing right. Now, the psalmist is dealing with the love of the word of God. But Paul in Romans chapter 7 gives a testimony of how he struggled with doing right. Romans chapter 7. Notice what he says about the word of God in verse 13. What then? That which is good made death unto me. What was that then which was good made death unto me? Talking about the commandment of God. God forbid, but sin, that it might be, it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good. That sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. He said, you know what? I found a law that when I handled sin, you know, I died. And it elevated the law to a position of righteousness, but then it downgraded me to a position of sinfulness. And sin became exceeding sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. And notice verse 15. For that which I do, I allow not. Paul said the things that I normally end up doing, I don't allow that. For that what I would, that do I not. He said the things that I want to do, I don't do. But what I hate, that do I. How many of y'all find yourself in that position sometime? Doing the things that I don't really want to do. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. He said it's not a problem with the word of God, it's a problem with me. The word is good. It says what it says. By the way, there's no problem with the speeding law. The speeding law says what it says. It's the problem with the pure person that breaks it. Well, I just got a heavy foot. Well, you better get a lighter one. I just like going fast. You better start learning how to go slow. It's not a problem with the law. It's a problem with us. He says down there, verse 17, now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. He said, it's not what I want to do. It's sin that's taking control. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For the will, notice that, is present with me. He said, I have the want to. But how to perform that, which is good, I find out. He said, I want to do it, but I don't seem to do it. You know why? Spirit's not in control. For the good that I would, I do not. He said, the good things I want to do, I don't do. But the evil, which I would not, that I do. He said, what I don't want to do is what I do. Now, if I do that, I would not. He said, if I'm doing the things that I don't want to do, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. He said, preacher, see, I'm off the hook. No, it's still in you. It's just sin in you that's taking control. He says down there, I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law. And my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity of the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with my mind, I I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. He said, my flesh is sinning, but my mind wants to do the law of God. And so how do I get the victory? Being dead to the flesh, being dead to self, but being raised to walk in the newness of life. I obey God by the mind and by the heart and by the Spirit of God and do that which is right. Paul said, I struggle with that daily. Amen. Christian, I think you and I would agree we struggle with that. And our cry is like the psalmist, oh, that my ways were directed. God, make me do it. God says, I will allow you to do it if you give me control. But I'm not going to make you do anything. By the way, God didn't make you get saved. And by the way, may I add, God's not going to make you go to hell. Can you get amen? Well, it says he's going to cast them in the lake of fire. The ones that didn't choose Jesus, that's what happened to them. God in his love sent his only begotten son. That's what Christmas is all about. He sent Christ, the child, to be born. Emmanuel, God with us. He gave his only son, and we must believe on him. Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So it is not godly your choice. And you say, well, why can't God just make your wife love you? Do everything. That'd get old real fast. He's holy and is diligently. Psalms is holy in my statutes. How's our attitude of love and desire and devotion to make? He's holy in his deceit. Shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments? Psalms is holy in his decisions. He said, I'm not going to be ashamed when I have respect. The psalmist's decision is like a race. We saw earlier, if I practice and train hard, I won't be ashamed at my results. If I take off the weights and the sin, and if I train and exercise when the race starts, I won't be ashamed at the race results. As you saw, Courtney was dead last with the pack on her back. See how fast you can run with a pack on your back. The psalmist's decision is like a race, an eraser. The psalmist's decision is like a test. If I study and review hard, I won't be ashamed at my test results. My mom used to always tell me when I was growing up, she said, boy, I could care less about your grade. G2, I know he's like, yeah, really? I like your mother already. My mother said, boy, I could care less about your grade. She said, I want you to understand what you're learning. And she said, and I know you're capable of more than just a C. I thought I was off the hook. She said, no. She said, I am not impressed with your grade. I'm more impressed with what you learned from what you read. Amen. And so if your very best that you can do is a C and you understand it, I'll accept that. She said, but I know you're not C material. I was like, can I be for this week? She said, boy, you are A and B material. And consequently, I stayed on the honor roll. Why? Because I had a mother that told me it's not about the grade. It's about what you learn from what you read. Can you apply what you learn? Can you put it into practice? Show me what it means to you. Explain it to me. So this psalmist here says, I won't be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. I understand what's going on here with the word of God. I understand what's going on because I put something into it. The psalmist states when he loves and obeys God's word, he won't be confounded. He won't be confused. He won't be disappointed or ashamed. When he has respect unto what God has in his word. Notice several verses here. Verse 46, he says this, I will speak of thy testimonies also before kings and will not be ashamed. Verse 80, he says, let my heart be sound in thy statutes that I be not ashamed. 2 Timothy 2:15, the New Testament says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that leads not to be ashamed. Rightly dividing the word of truth. But notice back in Psalm 119 and verse 6. Then should I not be ashamed when I have respect unto how many commandments? All thy commandments. Not just some of the commandments, but all of them. I love and my family love going to Golden Corral. One thing I like about Golden Corral, they have a smorgasbord of food. And I go into Golden Corral, man, I get some of that fried shrimp. And I get some of that fried catfish. I get some of that fried chicken. Say, preacher, what is all that fried? We don't eat a lot of fried food at home. Why? It's good for us not to eat it, amen. But it sure tastes good to us. Amen. And so I'll go get a lot of that fried. I get some fried zucchini. I'll get some of this and some of that and walk around. And, man, I'll come out. And, man, I'm eating. And Joshua, don't let Joshua go. Man, he'll go and get all the cookies and cheese and stuff. And Joshua, where's the food? And he'll, yee, and that ain't food. That's cheese. That's sweets. Leave the sweets to me. And I'll go back and I'll get some more. And my wife, she's the disciplined one. She'll come back with a salad about that tall. You know, just make us look bad. I mean, just make us look like food junkies. I mean, we got sweets and chocolate and all that. And she's just eating nice, you know, baked stuff. And, you know, and I'm thinking, man, you make us look, you go to the other table. You make us look bad. You make us vegetarian, amen. And we'll go back again and we'll get the stuff that we like. We'll go back again and get stuff we like. And that's one of the times we don't impose upon our children. They've got to eat their vegetables. They've got to eat this. And we'll do that at home. And I'm afraid sometimes that we're like that with the Bible. It's like Golden Corral. We go in and, oh, I like that. Oh, I like that. Oh, I like that. I don't like that, so I'm not going to get that today. Tithing? Not today. Forgiving? No, not today. No. Loving? No. Giving up bitterness? No, not again. Love your wife today? No, I don't want none of that today. Submission? No, I definitely don't want none of that today. I'm on a diet from that, amen. And we that's how we do with the Word of God. Like Golden Corral, we go in and picking over things that we don't like. And Lord, I like this part. I like the heaven part. I like the salvation part. I like the blessings part. And I love the praying part. And love for you to hear me when I complain. But Lord, don't ask me to forgive that person. Lord, don't ask me to not be bitter against that person. Lord, don't ask me to love that woman. Don't ask me to be submissive to that man. Don't ask me to love that teacher. No, don't ask. No, it's Golden Crown. I don't want any of that.
That's good,
God. It's not a Bible buffet. He said, when I got respect unto all thy commandments, not just some. But that's the way we treat God's word sometimes. And we wonder why our ways are not directed after God's. We wonder why we can't say, I being in the way the Lord led me. And some people actually say it when they know they're not in God's way. They're over on this way. I being in the way the Lord led me. No, that's the flesh's way. But we blame it all on God. I being in the way the Lord led me. What did the psalmist say? Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. He says, if I put them all into practice, I can do this thing. If I don't do it, I'll be unhealthy spiritually. I'll be unholy spiritually. And this psalmist is saying, you know what? One thing I can say is I'm a holy person. I'm a holy person. Why? Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently, and I'm doing my dead level best to do it. My ways were directed, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Lord, you know my heart's desire is to do it. He said, when that happens, I won't be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. Lord, I'm not going to treat your word like a Bible, a buffet Bible. I'm not going to just take what I like. I'm going to take what I need. I'm going to take what's good. I'm going to take it all. I'm going to take it to heart. What am I saying? The psalmist says, you know what? In verses 1, 2, and 3, I'm a happy man, and this is why. Then he says that in verses 4, 5, and 6, I'm a holy man, and this is why. Next time we'll look at verses 7 and 8, he says, I'm a humble man, and this is why. And notice what he says. I will praise thee with uprightness of heart. Then when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments, I will keep thy statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly. Keep some humility about himself. I don't know where you're at today, but let me tell you this. If you're not finding a desire for the Word of God, the things of God, there's something wrong with your desire. Nothing wrong with God. Nothing wrong with the Word. Paul said, there's nothing wrong with the commandments. Nothing wrong with the law. The problem is with me. My will is not God's will. My desire is not God's desire. And I'm going after something that's not God's desire. And I've got to have it for me. Where's your desire at today? You know, we go after that which we desire. You find a sale, you're going to go after it. That thing or that person that you desire, you're going to go after. How about let's go after the Word of God? How about let's go after the Word of God? Because ultimately, the goal of this book is to lead you to God Almighty. Ultimately, the desire of this book is to lead you to Jesus Christ. Ultimately, it is to have him to be the center of your life so that you can say like Abraham's servant said, I being in the way, the Lord led me. When afflictions come and adversities come, you want to be in God's way, not your own way, because your way will lead you astray. Oh, that my ways were directed. They can be. If I make Jesus Christ the center of my life, if I make his word the center and the mainstay of my life, if I get along with Jesus Christ, before you can be holy, you got to have the Holy Spirit. Before you can have the Holy Spirit, you got to be saved. Before you can be saved, you got to recognize just you're not saved, that you're in sin. And God still loves you the way you are, but he loves you too much to leave you that way. And God wants to save you today. Man, woman, boy, or girl, all around this room, I don't know who you are today, but before you can ever be this person here, God wants to save you first by his love. He gave Jesus Christ to die for your sins. He rose him the third day to pay for your sins. And you can be saved if you repent of your sins and receive his gift of eternal life. You can be born again today. And if you're not, I encourage you. Won't you come forward and let us take a Bible and show you how you can be born again? You've been born again, you know what? Maybe you need to be baptized. You've been baptized, maybe you need to join this church. If you're in this church, maybe you need to go on for God and do something great for God. I don't know where you're at today. I don't know what your desire is, but I know this. God's desire for you is that you would do that which is good for you, starting with salvation. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, and we're looking around. Just for a moment, consider, are you a happy person? Are you happy in the Lord's way? Are you happy in the Lord's walk? Are you happy in the Lord's will, his purpose of will for your life, his purity for your life? Are you a holy person? Are you holy in your duties? Are you holy in your desires? Are you holy in your decisions? This psalmist was. He said, you know what? I've got some certain things that I'm going to do. My decisions, my duties, my desires are going to be all about God, the word of God, and the things of God. And that's what I want to do. I will go after that which I desire. So Lord, help me to desire you more. Father, bless now this invitation time. Lord, I pray the message would get to the hearts to do what you would have it to do in the life of each person here. If there's one without Christ, Lord, help them to get saved. If there's a Christian that's wandering, help their ways to be your ways. Help their desire to be your desire. Lord, whatever it is needs to be done, do it through this invitation. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. How many would say, preacher, I've never been born again. If I died right now, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven, but I'm concerned about it. Would you pray for me today? Man, woman, boy, or girl, every head's bowed, every eye's closed. And you'd raise a hand and say, preacher, I'm not a Christian. I'm not born again. I'm religious. I go to church, but I've never been born again, never been saved. If I died right now, I'm not trying to go to heaven. There's a possibility I may be in fear of going to hell.